I am 100% in my pajamas. Just yes. Full disclosure here.
I love it. That's excellent. You look so cozy, though.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we don't talk about Bruno, but we do talk about the Oscars.
Never talk about Bruno. I am Mandy of the Ton.
And I'm Karen from the Dolby Theater in Hollywood.
Yes, you are.
I'm all about the Oscars this week.
I've seen the page.
Yes, there is a whole page of notes just about the Oscars. I will try and talk quickly and not too much.
Let me tell you a fun fact that I learned today. You probably know this, but I know that most of our listeners might not because I had no idea.
Okay.
Do you know where the name Oscar came from?
Wasn't it a person?
So the Oscars, I guess, started in 1929. Mm-hmm. And in 1931, there was this one of the awards librarians named Margaret Herrick. Mm-hmm. And she saw one of the awards coming out. And she said that the blank face and the stern brow reminded her of her uncle Oscar. And so all of the employees started like affectionately calling the stat, like the trophies, the Oscars. Yeah. And so the name was officially adopted 8 years later in 1939.
That's adorable.
Isn't that precious?
They're not actually, like, it's the Academy Awards. So
right.
Yeah.
That's why I wondered. I wondered, like, what do they call it, the Oscars, if they're the Academy Awards? So I looked it up.
I think that on this past Oscars, there was like I thought it was a joke. It might be real, but they had said something on like the broadcast about the statue being modeled after someone named Oscar. So
I don't know.
Like, that was accurate.
Yeah. I looked at several sites too, because I was like, did somebody make this up? But I looked at a lot of them and they all seem to agree.
Seems legit.
Uncle Oscar.
I love that. That's very cute. All right.
All right. So hit me, Karen.
I'm going to talk about the Oscars and then we'll get into our week. So the 94th Oscars was this past Sunday, and it was hosted by Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and Regina Hall. And it opens with Amy saying a joke. The Academy hired 3 women to host this year because it's cheaper than hiring one man. And
boom,
it's true.
Baby.
It's facts. True.
Facts. It's facts.
It's sad that that's facts, but it's true.
Yeah.
There was a bit where Amy Schumer came down on wires in a Spider-Man suit and they panned to the audience to show Andrew Garfield and Zendaya's reactions. And it was so funny.
I love that. I'm going to have to look that up.
It was so funny. It was during a bit where Wanda Sykes comes out in a King Richard outfit pushing the golf shopping cart full of tennis balls, like in the movie. And so the bit is like they were going to do a King Oscar skit and Wanda was going to be King Richard. And Regina was supposed to be one of the sisters and Amy was supposed to be the other. But then Regina dresses up as Tammy Faye. And she says, I've always wanted to play a crazy white lady.
Oh, Tammy Faye is that for sure.
And then Amy comes down in the Spider-Man suit with silly string to spray at the audience.
Perfect.
It was quite hilarious.
I love that they don't have to be like prim and proper and everybody has to, like, I love that it's funny and jokes.
It's funny.
And stuff.
Let's see. There was another moment that was, at the end of the monologue, they said that we're going to have a great night tonight. And then I think it was Wanda who was like, but for those of our watchers in Florida, we're going to have a gay night.
Yes!
And it was great. And they just started chanting, gay, 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 gay.
I love it. I love it so much.
It made me so happy. Yes. So those were some of the fun things. I sent you a voice note about this and we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but there was a point where Rachel Zegler was not invited to the Oscars, even though she was the lead of West Side Story, which was a Best Picture nominee. I was outraged. I sent you a voice note. I was like, Mandy, I cannot wait to talk about this. So Rachel Zegler, who was the lead of West Side Story, which was a Best Picture nominee, was not invited to the Oscars. For some reason or another, who knows? However, during the broadcast, Rachel Zegler comes out on stage with Jacob Elordi to present an award. And I don't know, I can't remember what award, but Rachel, there, Jacob was saying, like, I've dreamt about this all my life. And Rachel was like, I didn't even think I was going to be here 6 days ago.
Weird. So, yeah. Like, I wonder if it was a weird oversight.
I don't know what happened, but she made a joke about it on live television, and it elicited quite the laugh. Because
that also sucks because they gave her 6 days to prepare an outfit that is mm-hmm. Oscars worthy.
Yes. Six days. She looked stunning. She was beautiful. She was amazing. I love her. I'm still mad that she was not originally invited.
Yeah,
to the
Oscars. She was snubbed at first. That's gross.
It makes no sense. I have questions.
Yeah.
But anyways, some highlights. Kristen Stewart came in hot pants and she looked so fucking hot. It was a whole
really?
Lot.
I haven't seen any look. Pictures of her.
It was a whole freaking look. She had on like these really short hot pants and then she had a button up that was like unbuttoned all the way down and tucked into the hot pants with like a blazer over it. She looked phenomenal. And I know a friend of mine was like, why is she showing up to the Oscars in shorts? And I'm like, I don't care what you say. She looks fucking amazing.
Was it hot pink?
No, it was black.
I saw somebody in hot pink that looked great. And I wanted to say it was a suit, but that could be for something else.
Sebastian Yatra came in a pink suit, but it wasn't hot pink. But he
I don't know. I don't know what I saw. Or it could have been a photo from Kristen Stewart at another something.
Maybe. But she looked amazing. Jessica Chastain came in this like ethereal goddess dress that I loved so much. She looked amazing. One of my favorite moments of the night happened really early on when Ariana DeBose won the award for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes, she did.
She ended her speech saying, to anybody who has ever questioned your identity, ever, 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 or you find yourself living in the gray spaces, I promise you this. There is indeed a place for us.
Oh.
And I was crying. I was just like, first of all, I was crying because Ariana DeBose.
Historic.
She's openly queer. Historic. She is an Afro-Latina woman. Like, historic. But then she goes on with this speech and it's just. Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, your guts.
And she won for her role as Anita in West Side Story, which mm-hmm. 60 years ago, Rita Moreno mm-hmm. won for the exact same role. And that's, I believe it's only the second time that's ever happened. The other one was Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. And I told you this already, Mandy, but I did really well with my Oscar predictions.
Yes, you did. You did great.
So proud of myself. I know I posted like my picks on Instagram so y'all can see them. But I, out of the 15 categories that I actually made a pick from, I was flat out wrong on 4 of them. And one of them I'm counting as a win, even though technically I picked a different one. And that was Best Picture. For Best Picture, I said that I thought Belfast would win, but I wanted Coda to win. And Coda actually won, which was amazing. I flipped out. It was great. I was so sure that it was not, like, Coda wouldn't win. But they did, and it was amazing.
Sometimes it's like they get together and it's like, how can we piss them all off? You know?
Yeah. But anyways, this year was nice. We got Ariana DeBose winning for Best Lead Supporting Actress. Troy Kotsur won for Supporting Actor. Coda won for Best Picture. Encanto won for Best Animated Film. It was a good night. It was a good night. Oh, Jessica Chastain won for The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which, fun trivia fact that I found out, she is the 5th member of the cast of The Help to win an Oscar now.
Hey!
So Octavia Spencer, Allison Janney, Viola Davis, and Emma Stone are the first 4, and Jessica Chastain has just joined their ranks.
And she was so good in that movie because
she was so much. So good. She was so good. And speaking of Jessica Chastain, I don't know if you've seen the picture where Nicole Kidman is like her jaw dropped, hands thrown out. She's just like,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. So people are attributing that to something that happened during the live broadcast. However, the story behind that photo, it actually happened before the broadcast. And the reason that it happened was Nicole Kidman saw Jessica Chastain walk into the room. And she was just oh my God.
That would be my reaction for Nicole Kidman because I am obsessed with her.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
So it was so funny when I read it. I was just like, somebody else, like somebody in Hollywood gets as excited as I would. It was so funny to read that. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that. And then another quick little thing that was really fun. So I don't know if you know, so what they did, it was a 4-hour broadcast, but only 3 hours was a broadcast on TV. So the first hour.
Yeah, they like broadcast. Pre-recorded, right? Yeah,
they pre-recorded. It was about 8 categories. And during the opening monologue, they were, you know, the hosts were saying like, da 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 da. And, but it's okay. We're all in this together. And then like the lights and everything started flickering. And Wanda was like, we're on your side. We're just doing what they told us to do. As like a joke, like all the behind the scenes people were like still upset about their, I mean, they probably are, but that was, they turned it into like a bit. So, but there, and then the really cool thing is that, and I talked about this, I think on our last episode, Jessica Chastain was in the room when it happened, when her team won for best makeup.
Makeup. She made sure.
She made sure. She opted to come early, fly through the red carpet and be in the room when they announced the
category. I love that.
On the live broadcast, they showed, it was weird because they showed like the recorded portion and then they like panned to the audience, like clapping and stuff as if they were there. Like
didn't tell us that it was pre-recorded. Everybody knew.
I imagine that what they did was they played the recording at the theater so that the audience actually saw, you know, it announced
as
well.
That's fair.
But it still feels icky, you know?
Yeah.
Because
give the people their due in front of everyone.
Yeah. And so, but then when it was for hair and makeup, they panned to Jessica Chastain, who was there and was just like, her expression when they won was so precious. She was so in love with what happened. So,
yeah.
Those are my highlights. Now that we're done with our Oscars talk, let's move on to Fictional Boyfriend of the Week.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Okay, mine is absolutely 100% going to be Anthony Bridgerton. Oh my God. I don't know if you watch Bridgerton or not, but
I haven't yet.
Oh,
on my list.
Both, you know how we love a enemies to lovers moment, and both seasons of Bridgerton have been enemies to lovers and or will they, won't they kind of tension. And minor spoiler alert, I guess, if you don't like to see quotes, but this is everywhere. So maybe take out your headphones for 15 seconds. But at one point someone says, you are the bane of my existence and the object of my every desire. And it's like,
that gives me such
Darcy
vibes. Yes.
Yes. So it was like a knife through the heart. It was just like,
goodness.
So good. I binged it all in a day. And I don't ever hardly watch TV anymore. But I wasn't feeling good. Obviously, I sound like death. One of these days we'll get an episode where I sound normal. It is allergy season here in Georgia and I am suffering. So I was just feeling bad and it was like, you know what? Season's Bridgerton is out. I'm going to watch this and so freaking good. So Anthony Bridgerton, he's my fictional boyfriend of the week.
So mine is not so much a fictional character as just a fictional relationship in my mind, which would be, it's Jessica Chastain. She was so precious at the Oscars. She's such a phenomenal person and human being in general. She looked like a freaking goddess at the Oscars, and she spent her speech, she was just like she was talking about LGBTQ plus the community and how, you know, we're here for you and we will support you and you are loved unconditionally. And it just was like,
I love it.
She spent so much of her time talking about other people and how to help communities and how grateful she was for people in general and not much about her. And I just,
love it.
So Jessica Chastain is my girl this week.
She's a good one. It's a good one to have. All right. This week in fangirling.
Yay! I just want to bring something up really quick that I found out this week, and I don't know if you knew this already, but did you know Anthony Ramos has confirmed to be coming to the MCU?
I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm mad at him.
I know. That was my reaction when I saw it. I was like, first of all, how
like,
did I am
Team Jasmine.
Yeah, straight up.
100%.
100%.
But what are you going to be? Who are you going to be?
Anthony. I didn't even write down. I think it was. I didn't even write down what series it was going to be. It's going to be. I think it's. It might. It's either. I think it's Secret Invasion. Maybe. I can't remember. I should have written down. All I wrote down was Anthony Ramos MCU. And apparently I thought that was enough to remind me of what I was going to say about it.
The jury is going to be out on this one. Because I feel when you said it, I got angry.
I know.
Like, how dare you sully the MCU?
I know. I knew you would.
I would like her to be in the MCU.
Yeah, she would kill it. The other fun little fangirling thing that I read this week, or that happened this week, Elliot Page announced that his character is coming to Umbrella Academy. It's going to be Victor Harvey.
Yeah.
And I don't watch Umbrella Academy, but this makes me feel like I need to. Like, I love
the
representation.
Yeah, I need to, because I am an elder emo, okay? So I was an emo kid.
Yeah.
I still am an emo kid. I love My Chemical Romance. And I can't believe that I have not watched Umbrella Academy yet, because Gerard Way is who created it.
Yeah. I've also heard that there's, like, season two, they had a lot of really good, like, LGBTQ plus representation. And
oh, yeah. He's
so I'm.
I don't know if he's LGBT. I think, I mean, I don't know if he's a member of the community, but I know that from watching, you know. Yeah. Yeah, he's at least an ally, and he's been vocal about, you know, supporting the community. If he's not a member himself, I don't want to say he is, because I don't know.
Yeah, but
that's really cool.
I squealed a little bit when I saw his Twitter post. He like tweeted it out, and I was just like, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people were wondering, like, after his transition, if his character was going to stay the same. And so it sounds like his character is also going to be transitioning, and I really love that we have a trans character who is actually being portrayed by a trans person. That's a big deal. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
That's really, really cool.
So those were just my little news stories, I guess, for fangirling, but I watched a lot.
All right. What did you do this week?
So I watched Belfast, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, The Lost Daughter, Lead Me Home, Robin Robin, Drive My Car, and Moon Knight. I watched a lot of shit because I was preparing to make my Oscar predictions. Everything that I just said except for Moon Knight was nominated for an Oscar. So
yeah, I know you were
I tried really hard. I watched all the Best Picture nominees except for Licorice Pizza, because it's not streaming anywhere for free, and I just ran out of time. Plus, My Car was like 3 hours, but it was good.
Don't they realize we have attention spans?
It was really long, and And then I also watched, there's a series on HBO Max created by Ava DuVernay called One Perfect Shot, where it's only like 6 episodes or something, but they take like an iconic scene from a movie and they speak with the director who directed it, and just how they came, like how they got to where they were and how they got to that specific shot. It's very cool. I watched the episode with John M. Chu, because I love Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies ever. So yeah, but it's pretty cool. It's on HBO Max. It's like, I think it's like 5 or 6 episodes, and they're like half hour episodes. So it's a pretty quick watch through, but it's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's nice to see like more behind the scenes stuff. I really like that.
Right.
And that's pretty much my week. I'm still reading Love Book Taipei. I'm like, I think halfway through the book. And so I'm hoping I can finish it tonight and then finish the second book like the next 2 days, because I'm the author on Sunday.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
I'm so excited. So yeah,
I don't think I have anything else.
Oh, I started reading, I started listening to the audiobook for In a Dark, Dark Wood by Ruth Ware. I've
never heard of that.
It was recommended to me by a friend, as part of my reading challenge. And I don't really, so far, it seems like there may have been, it's like a mystery kind of, like, it starts off like this girl is going to the bachelorette party of a friend of hers that she kind of lost contact with 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then there was one scene that just happened where it seemed like it like was a jump, like a fast forward where you see like part of the future where apparently she shoots somebody with a shotgun and now she's in the hospital. And so, yeah, I'm not quite sure, but I'll let you know.
You're like, where is this going?
I'm kind of confused. Yeah, because it goes like they're at the bachelorette party and then she's in the hospital and there's a guard outside her door and then it's back to she's at the bachelorette party. So it seems like it's one of those things where it jumps back and forth from past to past and present. So we'll see how it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was pretty much my week. Yeah.
Okay.
Most of my week was consumed with the Oscars.
I've had a busier week than I ever have in fangirling. Okay, so I'm still working through King's Cage. That's what I listen to when I am working. So I'll probably finish that beginning of next week just because I don't read it unless I'm at work. Right. I participated in the Gish Book Bash this weekend, which was a lot of fun. It was a lot of weird challenges. There was make a portrait of Volodymyr Zelensky out of sunflower seeds was one of them. Okay. There was things with like literary lookalikes and write a poem in on toilet paper and just weird stuff. But it was fun.
Okay.
Thankfully I had a team. You're assigned to a team.
Yeah. And it raised money for something, right?
It raised money for, there was one of the charities, I think both of them went to people in the Ukraine.
Okay.
Why do I say the Ukraine? I don't know where I got that from. Ukraine.
Yeah.
Then another one, which we actually, like, it was one of the challenges was to get at least 10 donations per team, went specifically to buying wheelchairs and other accessories for disabled people in Ukraine.
Because
there are people that are there who can't get to bomb shelters because they don't have a wheelchair or they don't have something that they specifically need to move from point A to B. So I thought that was really cool. Raising money for that specific need.
Yeah,
because those specific needs get overlooked.
Right, right. People don't think about it.
Right. So I did that. I finished Over the Moon. I watched it with my niece. I know I sent you a little video of her.
Yes, so cute.
Talking about Fei Fei and how much she loved Chunga. And she didn't talk about it in the video, but she talked about the bunnies and how much she loved the bunnies. And
we had a whole talk. Did you love Gobi?
I did.
He's so funny. I love that. I just want like a little stuffed Gobi just to squish to
me. Yes.
It's so
You know they're coming. And yeah, we had a whole talk on a 3-year-old level about smart girls and what smart girls can do, like build rockets. This is just a funny aside the next morning. And I don't want to post it online because it's my niece, but I got her to tell my husband that she don't play tag because she been it. Like Lizzo. It's like, yes, ma'am.
Yes. She's so cute.
So we loved Over the Moon. I've binged Bridgerton, like I said. So I don't hardly ever, unless it's a Marvel show or This Is Us, which I'm very behind on, and Outlander, which I'm like seasons behind on, I hardly ever watch TV. If it wasn't for my husband and Marvel shows, I probably wouldn't even have a TV in my house. Like, I read, and that's all I really care about. So that being said, Karen, I watched both Coda and Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, Tick, Tick, Boom was such a snub. I was so mad. I was so mad when Tick, Tick, Boom wasn't nominated for like anything. It was just Andrew Garfield, which he well deserved. He gave the freaking performance, but I felt like it should have been nominated for Best Picture, and that Lin-Manuel Miranda should have been nominated as Best Director. And I was so mad that they
weren't. Freaking Sunday
right number
I fell out of my chair when Felicia Rashad's face popped up on that screen. It was like, listen, oh my God.
Ah! The amount of screaming that I did during that scene, because it's just all Broadway legends. And
I kept pausing it to take photos and send to my nieces. And I didn't want to tell you because I wanted to surprise you that I watched it.
Oh my gosh. The sounds that I made when Pippa Sue and Renee Elise Goldsberry showed up on screen, the sounds I made were just...
I know, my nieces and I were like, poor Peggy.
It got even worse when it got near the end and you have the three original cast members from Rent.
Yeah.
I lost it. I lost my mind. I loved it so much. And
I know.
I don't know. I don't know if you caught it, but Lynn's in the diner. I think it's like right before that scene. Yeah.
Yeah, and I then, sent the girls a video.
There's a scene later. Did you catch his dad later in the movie?
I did not.
When they go to the new apartment and they're doing their whole like song and dance, and it pans to like them dancing in the lobby. There's a like a little bellhop stand. He's in there. I literally rewound it. I was like, wait. And at the end, I spent the entire movie waiting for Chris Jackson to show up. And I was not disappointed.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking to myself, it's that scene from Drunk History where Lynn is like, if I have a job, you have a job, to Chris Jackson over the phone. And that's all I could think of.
I love.
It was so good.
Yeah. And it was like a gut punch too, though, when I never knew that he never got to see Rent.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh, I never knew. That he, like, they said he died the night before its debut.
The night before the first preview off Broadway.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. Awful. And he never got to see the success, and it's devastating because he's
now there's a movie. Like, people who don't do Broadway know what Rent is.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, like, the world just knows what Rent is. Like, it changed the shape of Broadway, like in much the same way that he combined like rock and show tunes, the same way that Lynn combined like hip hop and show tunes, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's so good. It's so sad to think about his story, but it was such a good movie. And where they're doing the little workshop and he's like he like meets Stephen Sondheim for the first time.
Oh yeah.
All of those people in that workshop are like acclaimed like writers on Broadway or like music people on Broadway. Like they work.
I love that they put the thought into that.
The entire movie was honestly just like a love letter to Broadway.
A love letter to Broadway.
Larson. It was so well done. And I don't think it could have been made by anybody but Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like he understood the assignment.
Yeah. He always does. When has the man been wrong?
Right, exactly. The voicemail where Stephen Sondheim's leaving a voicemail for John Larson. So, funny story about that. So, obviously, Bradley Whitford plays Stephen Sondheim in the movie.
Yeah.
Lynn had sent, I think, just that voicemail part to Sondheim and being like, is this something that you would say kind of thing? And, Sondheim's like, no, that's not exactly it. Here's what I would say. And if you can't get the original actor to come back and do it, I'll record it for you. And Lynn immediate was like, oh no, I can't get him. Can you record it? Like, he didn't even try. He was just like, oh no, we can't get him back. He's too busy.
He's washing his hair that day.
Yeah. He's not available. So that's actually Stephen Sondheim's voice on the voicemail.
That is so cool.
Which is such a sweet little thing. I love that.
Okay, so Coda was so freaking good.
So good, right?
Yeah. I tried to get Josh to watch it with me, and he was kind of like, I don't really know how to explain it. He wasn't feeling good, and he was just like, I don't have the attention span right now because I'm sick. So he was like, I can't read a movie right now. Right. He wants to watch it, but not.
Yes.
He was like, I'd rather just lay down somewhere and not.
Right. He just didn't have the spoons.
No.
But I
did.
I made the mistake of trying to watch it for the, like, when I started it. Because it was stupid because I know that it's about deaf people. So obviously there's going to be sign language and I'm going to have to read subtitles, right? And so I, for some reason, decided I was going to start it while I was like working on something else. And I was like, wait, why? Yep. Why are you doing this, you dumbass? So I stopped.
And I started it the first time I started it late at night. And I was playing on my phone. And so it was like, okay, first of all, you're falling asleep. But second of all, you're not going to overhear what's happening. You have to actually pay attention. So when I watched it, I think it was while you were watching the Oscars, I was watching it and I just put my phone away. I just laid there on the couch and I watched, and it was so good. I'm so glad I did.
So good. And it won Best Picture.
Yes, it did. And it's so well deserved. I don't know about the other nominees, but other than West Side Story, but
it was,
I can't see them being better.
I Belfast was really well done. Kenneth Branagh won for Best Original Screenplay for Belfast. I think that's so crazy to me. I posted on Facebook. I made a joke. I'm like, well, Gilderoy Lockhart just won an Oscar, so I'm waiting for the memes. I'm sure our friend.
We have a friend who loves Gilderoy Lockhart, and so I'm sure she was thrilled.
So that was really cool. He was my pick, I think, to win that. So I was really excited. And I think I actually picked Coda to win adapted screenplay, and it did. It was so good.
It was a beautiful movie.
It's such a sweet movie, too, because we've all been there. Like, we've all tried to figure out how we were going to go on with our lives and what we were going to do. And she... Yeah. You know, it's like her crossroads moment. Like, am I going to stay here with my family and do what they need me to do? Or am I going to go do what I want to do? And I love that Troy Kotsur won for Best Supporting Actor. And he's first of all, only the second deaf person to win an Oscar and the first male to win an Oscar. But the first person was Marley Matlin, who played his wife in Coda. And I was just like, that's so precious. And she was so cute when it was announced he won. It was so cute. I loved it. Yeah, it's such a good movie. I think everybody should watch it if they can.
And then my last thing from this week was Moon Knight. We need to talk about Moon Knight.
Yeah, we do need to talk about Moon Knight. I loved it.
I did too. It was different. I will say going in, when I saw like previews and that they'd cast Oscar Isaac, I was confused because I thought that they had replaced Kit Harington.
Okay.
Because I was getting that it's not Moon Knight. It's Black Knight.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait a second. They look similar enough that I could see them trying to do this, but what? Well,
so if you think about it though, and I don't know if you've seen the TikToks on this, but if you think about it, who else have we seen in the MCU in London recently?
That's true.
And who is kind of like more on the supernatural side of the MCU rather than like the superhero side? So Mahershala Ali as Blade.
There was one point where he's
hoping for a cameo.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
One point where it was almost like there was an earthquake and I thought, oh my God, it's the blip.
Oh.
But no, it's not. It wasn't.
Yeah, we don't really know when this is.
The little old lady when he's in the elevator and she's like, I'm going to my friend. She lives here. She's expecting me. I was cackling.
She was the highlight of the episode.
Yeah, because that's what, like, you are taught to say, like,
yes,
they're expecting me. Someone knows. Someone's waiting for me.
That's why. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime I go, I like share my location with people. I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going.
You've done that with me before.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you live in Georgia, but here's my location. Just in case you need to call 911, you'll know where to send them.
Yeah, I'd figure it out.
Yeah.
And I remember watching you that night, like, are you safe?
I don't even remember what was going on that note, but
it's been like years ago.
Yeah, I've definitely done it. And it always ends up being somebody who's like not near me. So I'm just like, I hope you understand how to call 911 in a different place.
I would figure it out.
Yeah. So, but that, and then I really loved the unreliable narrator aspect of it.
Yes.
Because you see that so much in books, but to see it on film was so cool because you just
and
see,
I like
the jumps.
Yeah. And I was reading, my husband changed it to, he wanted to see the preview after the episode. He wanted to see if it showed anything from the rest of the series, which it really doesn't. But we were reading the synopsis of that episode and it starts out saying something about a person with DID, which is dissociative identity disorder. And I follow several people on TikTok who have DID, and I really hope that, and I'm sure with as much attention to detail that Marvel puts into their films and their shows, that they've worked with people who have DID to accurately present it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool because even 10 years ago, someone would have said, oh, that person's just crazy. Right. That person's schizo, you know? So I love that they're taking a look at things that real people have and real people deal with. And this is a freaking superhero, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love, like, and
just because you have
something. Yeah. That seems to be the theme of phase four. It's like, these are real world issues and real things that people have. Like, we start with WandaVision and she's dealing with depression. We go into grief and depression, and then we go into racism in, you know, and then we go into like identity with Loki, and it just keeps going and
feeling
going.
Like a failure.
Yeah. And then we've got, you know, Shang-Chi with family issues. Among other things, you know, so I'm really liking the direction of phase four so far, and I'm really excited to see what's
next.
It's
making our heroes more human.
Yes.
Which I love because there could be little kids who say, you know, I'm my parents and my doctors are starting to say that I might have this. And now it's not, you're a pariah, people make fun of you. Now it's, well, look at this really cool superhero that everybody likes.
Yeah. Have we talked about the Ms. Marvel trailer yet?
I don't think I've even seen it.
Mandy!
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, okay. So immediately after this, you need to go watch it, and we can talk about it next week or something, because...
All right, I'm putting it in my homework.
I am so obsessed with the vibe of it. And of course, people are being like, this feels like it's a Disney Channel show, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, she's a teenager. Like,
but also, do y'all know who owns Marvel?
Do
I need to tell y'all a secret?
guys, Disney owns Marvel. I don't know if you know this, but Disney owns Marvel.
Spoiler alert.
But yeah, so it's just, the whole vibe is so quirky. It's so fun. I'm really excited to see. I think it's, I always forget if it's Kamala or Kamala. I think it's Kamala Khan is how she pronounces it.
I think so.
I think so, because I think I remember it being different from
VP.
VP. I can't remember. But anyways, there's a thing in the trailer where she straight up, she says it, because there's one of her classmates is like, it's a microaggression where she purposely like mispronounces her name and she corrects her. And I'm just like, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, girl. She
always
is
correct.
I'm very, very excited for this series. I don't care what anybody says. I can't wait for you to watch the trailer. And
I know.
Talk about
I can't wait. I put it in my homework.
Yay. Okay.
That was my week, other than, you know, if you have any more to say about Moon Knight, but that was.
No, I think that's it. I think we already talked about Moon Knight, like, we were texting about it. So
I know.
I'm like, I can't remember what I've said out loud and what I've texted. So
yeah,
those are my thoughts.
So where did your money go this week, Karen?
My money went to, I bought stuff. I don't think I got anything this week. Actually, my doorbell rang a little bit ago, and I think that was a couple packages. But I ordered, a friend of ours is like decluttering her house and posted a bunch of Funko Pops, and she had one of the Bucky Pops that I don't have yet. So I bought that from her, and I'm very excited. I'm going to pick it up. She's down in Southern California, so the next time I'm down there, I'm just going to pick it up. But then Walmart finally released their exclusive edition of the King George Funko Pop. So I ordered that along with Funko has been doing these really cool, like, it's like a comic book cover with a pop for some of like the superheroes. So I got Wanda. So I originally pre-ordered Wanda like months ago, and then Target canceled it because Target hates me for some reason. But it kept coming in and out of stock during the Oscars. So I was like watching and like going back and forth between the Target website, like trying to add to cart and buy. And I finally got to check out. It was supposed to just be delivered. So yay. And so I've got Wanda, Spidey, and then they just released a Moon Knight one today.
Hey,
so I just
that's exciting.
Bought that one. And I also bought the Night the Stars Fell hardcover edition. Because you told me about it, and I'm really excited. And did you see that she posted the second book, like the not the second book, the second novella. She posted like the title
Cal's story.
I'm excited for that. I didn't see that.
I love Cal.
I'm very excited. Yeah. So that's where my money went. I didn't spend too much this week, so that's cool.
Okay. Well, I didn't spend a lot either because I'm going to Disney in 2 days.
Yes.
But I did, however, go to a used book sale. Oh, and I got, I got 9 books, 2 of which I gave to my mom. One of them was about Jackie Kennedy and one was about RFK because she is like obsessed with Camelot. She loves the Kennedys. So I already gave them to her. But I got Dancing Home. This is kind of cute. It looks like I really didn't even read. I just picked up this because it looked cute. It's got two little, it looks like twin girls.
It looks
and I cute. Have twin nieces. So it looks like it's about a girl who is an American girl who ends up being forced to move with her parents to Mexico.
Okay.
And she's kind of uncomfortable and she meets another friend there who is Lupe, she's a girl. Her dad had to move to the U.S. for work, and so like there's missing the U.S. and missing someone in the U.S.
Okay.
I got The Hanging Girl, which is about a cold case.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Out in the Open, which is a dystopian vision of a boy's flight through an unnamed savage country searching for sanctuary and redemption.
All right.
I got Wild Swans, which I text you about, and we found out that this is the author that you have been reading, and I guess you finished.
I did finish. It's the same author as the Empress Dowager Cixi.
So I picked it up and was reading about, it's a memoir of 3 generations of Chinese women. And the grandmother, the reason that I was like, oh my God, I have to have this, is the grandmother was a warlord's concubine.
Yes.
And we had just talked about your book.
Yes. Chinese concubines.
Emperor's concubine. And there's photos.
I love that.
Of the family.
Yeah, mine had photos too. It was really cool.
Yeah. So I was like, I have to have this. I got this because, what?
I was going to say, as soon as you showed me, I was like, wait. That looks really familiar. I feel like I've either read it or I've seen it before or something. I don't remember, but it's like this cover is very familiar to me.
Yeah. This book I picked up just because it said Romanovs. It's the Romanov conspiracy. So it's about somebody who's an American forensic archaeologist who thinks that she has found the Romanovs, but Anastasia is not there.
Okay. You know,
the same story with different words.
All right.
I got Night of the Twisters because I read this in 3rd grade and it made me want to be a storm chaser, but it also made me terrified of tornadoes. And then I got I, Elizabeth because I have like a whole British royal section of my library.
I love that.
I got 9 books and I spent $5.50.
I love that so much.
And then when I went to pick up my new glasses, I also went to Barnes & Noble to see if my brother was working. He was not again. Rude. But, right? Do you ever work? When I am here looking for you, you should be working.
Gosh.
So I went back to the banned books table, though. And I can't go to the banned books table without buying a banned book. But a lot of the books on the table that day, I already had. Mm-hmm. So it was odd. So I did pick up Speak by Laurie Halse Anderson. And it seems like it's about a teen girl who's getting made fun of and she has trouble speaking, I guess. Then I got Slaughterhouse-Five because my husband was there and he was like, you got to get Slaughterhouse-Five. So I go up to pay.
Right.
And I, you know, give her my two books, and the girl's like, would you like to try any of our picks of the month? I recommend Woman on Fire. And I was like, yes. Yeah, if you recommend a book to me, yeah, I want it. And she, and then I saw the little sticker, the removable sticker, the buy one, get one half off sticker. And I have been looking at Madhouse at the End of the Earth, which is a book about an 1897 Belgian boat that sailed for Antarctica and got stuck in ice. Okay. I've been looking at it. Yeah, this is a true story. They get stuck in ice. It says, in this true life adventure story laced with gothic horror.
Okay.
they get stuck in ice. They're plagued by scurvy and a mysterious disease that not even the brilliant Dr. Frederick Cook could explain. They descend into madness and turn against one another. When the sun finally returns and the ice still doesn't melt, they hatch a dangerous escape plan that could etch their names in history or doom them to a watery grave. Supposedly, a lot of them all made it out, and this story has actually been studied by NASA for its lessons on the limits that humanity can endure and that human beings can endure.
Okay.
So I was like, well, if I'm buying this and they're buy one, get one half off, this one has the sticker too. So
you kind of have to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I left with all of those.
Fun. Lots of books.
That's where all my money went.
Your money went to books. My money went to Funko Pops, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, Mandy, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to Disney World in 2 days, okay?
I'm so excited.
The time you're listening to this, I will have been back for days, but it's just me and my mom. We changed our reservation a little bit for our Disney Springs night. Instead of going to Wolfgang Puck, we're going to the Edison, which is like a turn of the century to maybe 1880s to 1920s-ish inspired restaurant and bar. So it's very like industrial inside. And at night they have like aerial dancers. We've never been like late enough to see, but I'm dying to see them. Then we're going to Epcot. We have reservations in the Mexico Pavilion and in France. I'm hoping that we can get on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure if Genie Plus is nice to us. And then I got us reservations for Boma for breakfast the day that we leave, which is this African buffet in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It might be my favorite place at Disney.
That sounds fun.
And I'm raising little a-holes when it comes to my nieces because they've been too. And so now when they're with us or when it's just me and my husband, he'll say, hey, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? We can go anywhere you want. Boma? And so they've started doing it too. What do you guys want for dinner tonight? Well, if I could have anything, it would be Boma.
I love it.
So I got us reservations for Boma for Monday morning and then we'll head back. So nice. I'm super excited. And then
I'm so excited for you.
My forever for the next 2 weeks, I will not stop screaming at everyone to go ahead and pre-order Scar's Alex story. It is the first novella in The Night the Stars Fell saga. It's Fire and Starlight saga, but The Night the Stars Fell is the first book by Amber D. Lewis. You can go to her website, amberdlewis.com. I am telling you, you want to read this now because you will be that weirdo in a few years who's the only one who hasn't read it. So good. So good. So good. AmberDLewis.com or anywhere books are sold, you can find The Night the Stars Fell online. And Scar's Alex story. Go pre-order it.
Yes. And that releases.
Those are what I'm looking forward to.
April 12th.
April 12th.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is the same day that An Arrow to the Moon by Emily X. Arpan is being released. And I'm so excited for that. And I ended up, she's having a launch week events, and I'm going to be attending one of those virtual events on that same day. So I'm very excited about that.
That's really exciting.
And then I'm going to see Morbius this weekend. I was excited, but I'm less excited now that reviews have come out. And not by like critics, because I don't care about critic reviews, but like
people,
TikTok people. Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. One of the TikTok creators that I follow gave it a 3.5 out of 10. So I'm,
oh no.
Yeah.
So, I forgot that it was this weekend. I may have to go tomorrow night before I leave.
Yeah. It comes out. Oh, I think it's out now.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go tonight. But
I think, well, probably not tonight.
I might go tomorrow.
Yeah, so.
I'll have to see what he wants to do.
Yeah, I'm going Saturday morning, and apparently I'm taking my kid because she decided.
She's brave. Yeah.
She was like, Mommy, are we going to see Morbius? And I was like, I'm going to see Morbius because when I asked you if you wanted to watch it with me, you said no. And I double checked with you. I said, you know, are you sure you don't want to come with me? She said, no. And then the other day she was like, Mommy, are we going to go see Morbius? I'm like, no, because you said you didn't want to. I am. She's like, but I want to go now. She's like, child. This child is going to be the death of me. So that's Saturday. And then on Sunday, I am going to a local indie bookstore to an author, Abigail Hing Wen, who is the author of Love Boat Taipei and Love Boat Reunion, is going to be having like a little conversation at this bookstore and signing books and stuff. And apparently there is going to be free boba from the boba guys. So
hey, are they going to remember the boba?
Oh God, I hope so. Mandy says this because this past weekend I went and got boba and got home and realized there was no boba in my milk tea.
In your boba.
In my boba drink. It was so upsetting. So that's fun.
Hopefully this is a better experience.
Yes. But I'm excited. I'm excited. And this book, I'm like halfway through it and I'm really excited. I'm really invested now. Like I started, and I feel like that's how it always starts with me. I like start a book and I'm like, okay, I don't know who these people are. And so I'm not invested. And then I keep going and I'm just like,
and boom, oh you're invested. You turn the last page and you're like, my family.
Yes, no. Exactly.
My family's leaving.
I know. I'm just like, ugh. So, I mean, at least there's a second book. So we'll see how that goes.
That's true. You don't have to wait on that.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing that I'm anticipating, spring break for my daughter is coming up. And I am taking a little trip for that week. I'm very excited about it.
I know. Me too. So where are you going for spring break, Karen?
I am going to Georgia.
The devil went down to Georgia. Now you're going to have to come see there? Why. Yes. It's the only place hot enough for me. It's not going to be too hot while you're here, though.
I hope not. I
still
would die.
Spring.
I can't do humidity. It hurts me.
You're going to have to survive it because it's already humid. I will go ahead and prepare you. It is spring in full force here, and that means that there is pollen literally everywhere.
Well, luckily for me, unlike you, it doesn't bother me too much.
I
stick a cat in my face and I will just...
Josh is the same, so you don't have to worry about any cats here. But
honestly, it's like stick a cat in my face and I'll just be like dying. But pollen, I'm pretty solid there, I think.
It's like a giant just took a giant wheelbarrow full of pollen and just dumped it on us. So
I'm excited.
I am too. I'm really pumped.
I'm so excited. It's been, I don't know, it's been like a couple years since we've seen each other in person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm excited. It'll be fun.
You did make me laugh because you text me and you, I guess if you're listening, you can comment on one of our social medias and tell us like, and it'll show like what region you're from, because you text me and you were like, there are places that I've got to try. And so I was thinking, okay, she's like Googled my area or like heard about like something really cool around here, and you were like, I have to try Zaxby's and Moe's, and it was like, there's a Zaxby's on every corner, so okay. It's like saying you gotta try McDonald's.
Well, so what us. It was like I was telling a mutual friend, I was like, I'm going to be in Georgia, like, because it was in like a group chat, and like one of the girls is in Alabama and one of the other girls is in Florida. And then one of the other girls is in California with me, but she previously lived in Georgia. And so she was like, okay, well, when you go, you have to try this and this. And I was like, okay, I'll let Mandy know. And so that's just what I went with.
It's like me telling you that I need to try McDonald's when I come see you because it's just everywhere.
Wait, no, here. What did you say? You said it was like, what is it, Jack in the Box that you guys
We don't have Jack in the Box.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? That's like
And everywhere. Then we found out that none of us, neither of us has Whataburger or White Castle, right?
Yes.
I don't have either of those. I have to go to Alabama to get Whataburger.
I don't believe I have either of those either. So
Whataburger is the best. Oh, it's so good. The spicy ketchup. Oh, but delicious. And we got to get you peach ice cream, right?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then Moe's, which you are going to be, you're from California. Okay. You're going to be very disappointed in Moe's. We like Moe's here. It's not authentic at all. It's like Subway for burritos. Basically, I love Moe's. Don't get me wrong. But okay, the best tacos I've ever had in my life were out of a dirty food truck outside of Grauman's Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. Okay. The best tacos I've ever had. Probably full of some form of tetanus. Didn't care. So good. Then you go back to Moe's and it's like.
I can't wait for you to come out here and me to take you to actual like taquerias.
I know. Now it'll be my turn.
Yay. Exciting. Yeah. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. This. It's just a couple weeks away. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm so excited. Yay. I can't wait. And I can't wait to take you to I need to make a reservation for a little tiki bar.
Yes.
Before
please.
They fill up. My husband can take your kid for ice cream and we'll go. Get some drinks.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I'm very excited. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah,
and we're going to try. What did we decide? We're gonna buy a bottle of the Rocks tequila and just try that because
we should try it when we record that week's episode because we can record an episode together.
Yeah, we'll have a boozy episode.
Hey, yes,
I like this idea. It'll be fun. We'll just take shots every time I say Captain America. I was recording editing that episode and I said Captain America like 50 times in the span of like 30 seconds. It's like, why?
I must have gagged every 15 times.
Well,
it was
because I was saying that Sam as Captain America has been blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I said Captain America repeatedly. I listened to it. And I was like, Karen, just stop talking. So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be so much fun.
I can't wait.
Yay.
All right.
Yeah, are you ready?
I've been dreading this. No.
Fangirl freestyle.
I'm not right. ready.
Well, first, I am on brand again. This is
It's Hamilton related. I'm so
scared. It's a
scared.
Hamilton shirt. So, because nobody can see, my sweater says "Rise up, wise up, eyes up." Re Hamilton. It's from Lin-Manuel Miranda's little shop, his T. Rico shop. All right, are you ready? I'm gonna gag as soon as I say this.
I'm gonna hold George Bailey.
Animal. Your emotional support animal.
My emotional support animal.
Go. Are you ready?
Uh huh.
Lin-Manuel Miranda peaked at Hamilton.
Oh, people are out of their mind. That man ain't peaked yet.
His star is still rising, people.
Someone said that unironically?
Somebody said that seriously and then continued to talk about.
Is that person okay?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Have they ever listened to Encanto?
First of all, let's just go through because Hamilton was what, 2016? Right? Yeah.
Okay. And then Moana came after that,
then
right?
Then Moana. He did Moana. Hold on. I will pull everything up because.
I am triggered.
Yeah.
Come here, emotional support animal.
I heard this I wanted to scream and.
Yeah.
Find this person and.
He hasn't peaked yet.
I just want to have a conversation with this person. You know, I just want to talk with my fish.
We haven't seen the best out of him yet.
No. Okay. So we had Lin-Manuel Miranda did Hamilton was 2016. Then we get, I'm still scrolling. Hold on. 2016. There's 2016. He was in Mary Poppins Returns in 2018. Mm-hmm. Which was lovely. He did a hilarious episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine where he was who's great. He executive produced, I think he was executive producer or producer on Fosse Vernon, which was excellent. He did songs in Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and I think there was another one. I can't find it now.
How old is he? He's in his 40s?
He's in his 40s.
How old was Sondheim when he passed?
Much older.
My dude's still got decades.
He's got decades. Lin-Manuel Miranda is 9 years older than us.
So very early 40s.
Early 40s. I'm like, how
we're
old
32.
Are
we?
32.
We're
so
32.
Plus, so like 40, 41.
Yeah. He's still got decades to show this person exactly what he can do.
He was in The Heights, the movie version. He was in His Dark Materials.
Which doesn't get talked about enough.
His Dark Materials does not get talked about enough. It's so good. Have you seen Vivo?
No.
Okay, that's on Netflix. Add it to your homework. It's so good. Okay. And then freaking directed Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, incredible.
Which should have been nominated for Best Picture and for Best Director. All of Encanto. Just all of Encanto.
Every single second.
Every single second of Encanto. What else we got? What else? Little Mermaid coming up?
I was going to say, isn't he doing the Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid with Sondheim. No, not Sondheim. Who was it? Is that Sondheim? No, it's Menken. Alan Menken.
Yeah.
God, I was like, hold on.
You hadn't said it. It was like right here on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. What else? I'm just going through his IMDb being like, what else has he done? Like, he's done plenty since...
Drunk History.
Drunk History was so funny. So funny. Literally, all you have to look at is Encanto to know that he hasn't peaked. Peaked at Hamilton in 2016? What? You want to tell me that Lin-Manuel Miranda peaked in 2016? No, sir.
He did not.
He has not. I don't know if he has a peak. I think he's just going to keep on
rising. I wonder if this person lost their ability to hear after they heard Hamilton. And so they think, I don't know. I'm trying to find a way to justify such
There is no justification.
Silly thought. Silly thought.
It's insane.
Something that person probably should not have put on the internet, because I feel like I want to cyberbully this person.
This person said this with their full voice.
How can you be so wrong?
On a Twitch live stream showing their face? Like, how could you possibly feel
you're
safe
so loud
after
about
that?
Being so very wrong? I feel like there's a tag group for that.
There has to be a tag group. It's like, wow, you
Hold
really
on, let
said
me look
that
in my
your,
phone. I have
they really
I have
said
a
that
list.
With their full voice, and I don't understand it. I don't understand
let
it.
See. I've I got can't. Something for this.
I don't know.
Yikes! Open oof! Attorneys at law. The Lion, the Witch, and the Audacity of This Bitch.
Yes.
Do we know the gender of the person who said this?
I believe it was a male, but let me double check. Because I didn't see it. Joanna was watching a Twitch stream and texted me. And I was excuse me.
How about imagine announcing to tens of thousands of people that you weren't raised right. Imagine having access to all human knowledge and still believing this.
Yes.
That one fits. Not even Nationwide is on your side.
All right. So she texts me and she said, I'm watching a gamer Twitch stream and he went on a rant about how Lin peaked with Hamilton. And now I'm trying to figure out how to unsubscribe.
Men are so confused about their current market value. That's one. If that's what your thought is on Lin-Manuel Miranda, please leave.
I just want to know. I just want to know, like, did he see Moana, Encanto, Tick, Tick, Boom, In the Heights, Vivo?
Any of it?
Or did you just...
Easy to say that if you've only seen Hamilton.
Right.
Of course you think that.
Right.
Or maybe he just sees how popular Hamilton was. But, I mean, everyone knows about Bruno.
Yes.
At this point, right? Like...
We don't talk about him, but everybody knows about him.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. There's a apparently at least one person who believes this. And I just want to talk. If you're listening, I just want to talk.
Secondhand embarrassment. Fist. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. I wanted to hurl my phone across. As soon as I read that text, I wanted to hurl my phone across the room. I was like,
I want to take off a glove and slap him with it. Yeah. Like, how dare you? I want to challenge him to a duel. Yes. I know the 10 duel commandments. Do you, sir?
That might be all he knows.
That might be all you know.
Because he clearly doesn't know about Bruno. So,
I'm mortified. My cheeks go hot.
I can't even say it again because it just... No. It hurts me in my soul. It's like... How anybody could possibly think this, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine.
I'm just so confused. I'm so confused. I feel like I need to apologize to Lynn for just having that out in the universe.
I feel like I'm the one who actually said it out loud. It hurt me. Like I feel like I need to tweet Lynn right now. I'm like, you don't know this, but I just said the worst thing ever and I apologize. Like,
yeah, and I repeated it. I don't believe it. I just had to tell my podcast. These people can vote.
Oh my gosh.
These people get to help make decisions.
That's why our country's going to shit.
Oh my God. It's because people who think that Lin-Manuel Miranda peaked at Hamilton can vote and drive. They're allowed to drive. On your street.
I can't. I don't understand it.
Yikes on bikes.
I can't even, like, there's not a thing I can say about it. There is no defense of this. There is just no defense of this.
Normally I can try to help somebody dig themselves out of the hole.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is literally one award away from an EGOT. Like, yeah. And he had a chance at it this year. So clearly he hasn't peaked because he was up for an Oscar this year. It's coming.
I hope he gives you the middle finger on stage and says, peaked, mother trucker, show you a peak.
Except he won't because he is a sweet man.
I know, but I want him to do that. I'll stand behind him.
I'll do it for him.
Yeah.
Straight up. But he's such a good person. Like, Vanessa, his wife, tested positive for COVID right, the Saturday before the Oscars. So the day before the Oscars. And so he and the kids tested negative, but he's like, out of an abundance of caution, we are not going to go. We're going to quarantine in LA. And I was just like, because that's what decent human beings do. That's what
responsible human beings do. Yes. I tested negative, but I may still have been exposed. Right. I'm not going to risk.
I mean, it's, you know, his life. So obviously he was just
It wasn't Liza Minnelli that was there.
She was there.
Yeah, with Lady Gaga, and she was in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not going to risk Liza Minnelli's life.
So actually that reminds me of something that happened with Tick, Tick, Boom. So we're tying the whole episode together. So during Sunday when they were filming, it was like during the pandemic and it was before vaccines, right? And mm-hmm. so they had very, very, very strict like quarantine rules. Like they had to quarantine for 2 weeks before they started shooting. And then they had to like continue quarantining mm-hmm. and all of that.
You're only with the cast.
You're only, and even like on set, they were like set like 6 feet apart. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember which parts, but there are parts where you'll see like they pan around the tables and they're like in groups at tables. So mm-hmm. everybody only stayed with their own table and they like filmed everything separately and then put it together in post because they didn't want too many people interacting.
That's smart.
And Lynn was like, I am not going to be the one who gives Joel Grey COVID. I refuse. And I was like, he was like, we have to protect these people. And he was so strict about it. And then when they came back for reshoots, there was the vaccine at that point, and so they were able to, like, interact a little bit more, and and everybody was, like, and it was funny, I think it was, like, it was either Pippa or Renee who was, like, we finally get to, like, these are, like, legends, and we're, like, in the scene with them. Yeah, that you want to
fangirl over.
Yeah, and they're, like, we, it's so kind of him to actually, like, include us in this whole legends scene and, and all of that, and it was very cute, and they were just, like, I just really wanted to, like, hug them, and we couldn't, and all of that. But yeah, I thought that was really cute. Like, he was just like, I absolutely will not be the one to expose these people to COVID.
Yeah, nope.
And he was will very, not be very me. Yes. And so I really loved that. And he was, and that whole scene is so well done. And there were so many people that, like, I was like, I was watching it and I was like, I know you're probably some big name and I just can't place it. And it's like everybody in that scene is a big name. There are, like,
yeah, no, I had to Google stars. A list at that point because it was like,
it was,
oh my God, Angelica, Eliza, Claire Huxtable.
It was amazing. It was amazing. The sounds, the freaking sounds I made when I saw Adam Pascal, Daphne Ruben Vega, and Jermaine, whose last name I can never pronounce, so I'm not going to attempt it. But I was just like, those are the original cast members from Rent who knew Jonathan, you know? Like, they I saw a thing where they took them to the apartment set and they were just like, this is to a T what Jonathan's apartment looked like. And that whole movie was just such a love letter to Broadway and John Larson, and I'm so glad it exists in the world.
Agreed.
Yep.
It was amazing.
And yet somebody out there wants to say that Lin-Manuel Miranda peaked when he did that masterpiece.
Ignorance. So offended. That's what that so is. Offended. Ignorance.
So offended.
Me too.
Oh my.
That was a good freestyle though.
Yeah, it's a good topic.
Got me fired up.
Yeah, I told you would hate it.
I'm gonna go downstairs and punch my husband. I would never.
Well, what was that for? Your husband's phenomenal.
Men. That's what that's for.
And then he'll just be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, he'd be like,
because he's fair. Not one of the ones who's gonna be like, not all men.
Not all men.
Your husband will be like, oh, say no more. Say no more. I love that.
Gay, gay, gay.
Gay, 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 gay. Did you see Oscar Isaac's interview with Variety?
Where, no.
So the interviewer asked him something about, like, the don't say gay bill, blah, 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 or how does he respond or something. And Oscar Isaac was like, well, I feel like I would just respond gay, 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 gay. And he just kept going. And I was like, gay, gay, gay. I love it.
Gay, gay.
Yeah. Yep.
Same. Oscar. Same.
Same. Same. 100%. I love it. I love it. Okay. Right. So, thanks for listening, friends.
Yes. Episode 5.
In the books. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Follow us, subscribe, whatever their term is. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I think on leave Apple Podcasts, it's actually, yes, please leave a review. We love reviews. They make us very happy. You can follow us on social media. We are The Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and TikTok. Incoherent Girls on Twitter because they have a character limit and I hate them for it.
I do too. It's so annoying.
It's so annoying. Like our Facebook page. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. I almost like messed that up. We have a website, theincoherentfangirl.com. Where else are we? What else do we got?
We're everywhere. We're on all the socials.
Everywhere. And before I forget, our sponsor, Here Comes the Nerd, has a Pokemon round incoming. It's going to be sometime during the month of April. She's just waiting for all the stuff to come in. We talked about it with her on episode 2.
Yes, so we did.
We're just waiting for the cuties to come so that we can all throw all our money at her because I'm sure I will. I absolutely will. Pokemon. I love Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
That's all I know. I know Pikachu, Charizard, Squirtle, and gotta catch them all.
Excellent. Perfect. And you can visit her website, herecomesthenerd.com, and if you use code FANGIRL, you get 20% off your first purchase. Yay. Very exciting. Yay. What else
and do we don't, I didn't show one this episode because I haven't really, other than listening to an audiobook, I've been sick, so I've been wanting to lay in the bed and watch. Mm-hmm. But if you want to try Once Upon a Book Club, you can go to onceuponabookclub.com and enter code MANDY10 at checkout to get 10% off your order.
Yay! And, ooh, isn't Once Upon a Book Club doing those Bridgerton books?
The, yes, like, I actually have a Bridgerton box that I'm looking at that, ooh, I bought last summer and haven't opened yet, but I think, yeah, I might open that.
I think that's like the first four books, and then they're releasing the last, mm-hmm, four books in this upcoming. That's exciting.
Yeah. And they're beautiful.
They're like special editions.
Yeah. They're going to be gorgeous. I'll have to read some of them and unbox on another episode.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Excited.
Post it on the Tiki Talks.
On the Tickle Talk, as Josh calls it, which is so creepy and weird.
If you're on TikTok, please follow and interact with us, because I think we're still shadow banned and it makes me sad.
I hate it.
It's so
weird.
It's the weirdest thing.
We're fun, okay?
I think
everybody should want to be our friends on TikTok.
I think we're hilarious, but apparently TikTok doesn't think so. So,
we'll have to
figure something else out. But I think that's it. Did I name everything? I always forget.
I think so. You didn't name your new co-host before before I came to record this episode. I set everything up and then I went to fill up my drink and I came back and my basset hound was sitting in my chair in front of my laptop. So Tallulah is in the future. She's sitting here staring at me now because I'm in her seat. She's going to be the co-host from now on, apparently. And I am chopped liver. She just keeps yawning, though, so she's not going to be quality content for you. She's just going to listen to you.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to listen to me talk. Nobody wants to listen to me talk for an hour straight.
Oh, no.
That would be terrible.
She won't talk back, which might be a good thing, but
it'll be for my expanded Oscars episode.
There you go. That she can co-host your mini-sode.
Just sit there and talk to Tallulah. So this happened, and then this happened, and this was...
When she yawns, she sticks her whole tongue out, so you'll really like that.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, well, you'll get to see her before too long, so you can be besties IRL with her.
Yay! I love that. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, this was The Incoherent Fangirl.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
We love you.
Oh, we just forgot something.
Uh-oh.
We have a special guest coming.
We do.
We do. I tweeted about it and then I posted it to Instagram, but we do have a special guest that we are going to be recording with soon. We're scheduled to record with her on our next episode, but we just... And hopefully everything will work out and nobody has to reschedule. And then it'll be...
Keep an eye on our socials. We may just announce ahead of time there.
Yeah.
Get people excited.
I'm really excited. I thought it was a complete long shot. And then she said yes.
Hey, sometimes the long shots are the ones that...
It's very exciting. So yeah. I'm really excited. And so everybody get excited because we have somebody fun coming next week, hopefully.
Yes, we do.
Yay. Okay. Now for realsies. Thank you
that
for listening.
That really was The Incoherent Fangirl. That was an incoherent moment.
Yes.
We love you.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.